Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by ContentSnare. ContentSnare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks and months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. ContentSnare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at ContentSnare.com. G'day, welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. Today, we are speaking with Mike Vardy. How you going, Mike?
I'm doing well. How about you, James?
I'm bloody good, and I'm super excited about this episode. So, if you're not already familiar with Mike, he runs, well, is the Productivityist, which may be changing by the time this airs. We'll see. What's the new name again?
Time Crafting.
Time Crafting, which is awesome. I like that name. And anyway,
way easier to say and spell.
Yeah. When you have to spell your business name on the phone, it's a pain in the ass. I've been in that position for years, so I know those feels. But Mike helps people be more productive, and you've got coaching and workshops and tools. And I mean, you've had a huge impact on the way I run my days. In fact, I've got a live stream right after this where I'm basically going to go through some of the techniques that I've learned from you, because I've sort of mashed up a little bit of that with some other random sort of GTD, getting things done type things. So like massive impact, as you already know. I've written blog posts about about the techniques and everything, so I love it. I met Mike at Tropical Think Tank, Chris Ducker's event, and the discontinued event in the Philippines a couple of years ago, where he was forced to hang out with me for a week without being able to escape.
There were worse places to be. And then I saw you again in London at the inaugural Upreneur, and I voluntarily hung out with you there.
Oh, yes. Lucky me. Anyway, before I butcher it, can you just let guys know what you do in your words?
So what I do is, I, like you said, I help people take their time and attention and kind of harness it in a way that allows them to do the right things at the right time for them. So I find that productivity is generally it's a bit of a dirty word. Like, people tend to think it's about being efficient and effective and getting as much done as possible and checking off all the boxes. And my goal is to try to put a bit more of a human component back into it through like simple and flexible and durable techniques, kind of like what you did, James. And by the way, thanks so much for all the sharing and stuff. And just, I'm so glad that what I shared has been able to help you out, because I think that time management does not have to be tough. We tend to make it that way. We tend to get in our own way. And that's my goal with time crafting, is to take time and kind of craft it so that you can make it work for you rather than against you.
Awesome. I love that new business name and tagline. That's great. So agency owners and like designers seem to be pretty time poor. You know, I've been in that space for a while now, so I know it quite well. And it's been really good to sort of get on top of my time. And that's why I think it's really awesome to have you on this show. So I've got a few questions that I want to talk about. But first, what's the best thing that's happened to you this year?
Wow. The best thing that happened to me this year was, there's a lot of great things happened to me. Best thing that happened to me this year, and remember, I start my year in September. So are you saying like the That'll, year previous?
Or
the
sure, year sure. Let's go. Whatever it means to you.
I would say the best thing that happened to me this year was to basically put ourselves, my family and I, in a position where we could holiday together and have the summer to just enjoy it. Like, I took basically the months of, you know, in Canada, of course, July and August are kind of like the times of year where the kids are out of school, and we went away for most of the summer.
Wow.
And the fact that we were able to prove that I could do that, and you and I had a brief discussion about this on Facebook and Facebook Messenger, to take that time and literally step away and knowing that nothing fell apart and that, you know, everything was great, I now have the confidence to not only do that next year, but maybe take it to another level next year. So I think that's the best thing that happened to me, is that the tactics and stuff that I've been using and you know, applying in my own life, I was able to put into practice for those months and set myself up for those months. And we had an amazing summer. The kids, I mean, let's put it this way. At the end of the summer, there's this fair in Victoria, BC, and there was also this water park that we used to go to. The kids were like, no, we're good. We already did that. We're fine. And wow. So that to me was a huge, huge win.
That's massive. And I'm hoping to be able to get over to the States/Canada in July next year. That's just a random little goal of mine, because that's when you said World Domination Summit's on, yeah?
Yeah, and it's a great conference. My hope is to be back there for. I missed this past year because I was at the ConvertKit conference, but now that they're not at the same time, my goal is to get back and rekindle the streak that I had at the World Domination Summit, because until this year, I'd been to every single one.
Wow. Well, hopefully see you there in person instead of on Facebook Messenger and now video. So. We spoke about this offline, and I think the best way, like even you said, the best things to focus on are daily theming and journaling. This might even tie into those, but are there any quick wins you think people can get, use to get more productive, or is it just these two things you're going to talk about?
Well, I think that the easiest quick win that you can get is to just start writing things down or putting them into like a trusted place. This is like getting things done methodology. I know you've you touched on that, but this idea of getting things out of your head and putting them in a place where you can use them as storage later for looking at later. I think that if you just start there, then you can start to really, leverage things like daily themes. And I mean, journaling is a form of writing things down so you can reflect on them later. So I think that you have to get past the whole idea that, oh, I'll remember that, or, oh, I don't need to write that down because I'll remember, because you won't. You just won't. Life is so fast, and the demands on our time and energy are increasing, you know, more and more, especially when you're running an agency and you've got clients that are coming to you and all that. Like, it's everybody else's stuff. And if you can have a way to get those things out of your head so that you can put them in a place where you can look at them later and then use your mind. And I throw this phrase around a lot. Your mind was meant to be a factory, not a warehouse. So if you use your mind, what it was meant for, not for storage, but for actual, the execution and the idea generation and all that, that's going to be a huge win right away. And it'll free up the bandwidth for you to do things like, okay, when should I do this kind of stuff? Why am I doing this stuff in the first place? It'll free your mind up to ask those questions and then become more, intentional and pay more attention to the things that you've got going on.
Wow. You just gave me like a really good idea for my own to-do stuff with the why. Because I kind of do that as I write things down. It forces me into doing that based on what column it goes in my Trello. And I didn't even think of it like that. So that's awesome. So let's dig in.
And the great thing about tools like that, and just to quickly touch on it, is it doesn't matter what tool you use. Like, you use Trello. Some people use Todoist. There's Asana. There's OmniFocus. Mm-hmm. There's good old-fashioned pen and paper. If you want to have a system in place, that you can have whatever system that you want in place, but the apps ultimately come secondary.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You should take an app like Trello or Asana or whatever and say, this is how I'm going to approach it. And if it can't do that job for you, then it's not going to be the right app. And remember, apps come and go. I mean, recently in the news, Evernote's been taking a bit of a hit. People are like, what am I going to do if my Evernote's gone? I'm like, well, what did you do before Evernote was there? Yeah. Like, so I think that, again, frameworks are what need to be put in place. So always focus on the approach that you're using first, then focus on the application.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've heard that many times. Yeah, and a lot of people don't, like, they hate Trello, straight up hate Trello. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't, I hate like the sort of one-dimensional to-do list where it's all in a big line. I don't need to see it in like a big monitor sort of. I love the card view.
And sometimes you need to see it both ways. I know Asana has both board view and list view now. So certain things, like, for example, with we use Asana, and for content workflows, we use the boards. But for administration rid of stuff, we use the lists.
Yeah, right.
So we have two separate projects. One is like for the podcast, for example, it's podcast admin is one project, and then podcast workflow is another. And anything that's labeled workflow, we know immediately is going to be a board. So, I mean, a good tool will allow for that. And Trello has checklists built in too. So you've got lots of flexibility.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've actually started using ClickUp as our sort of company project management. We just moved off Teamwork because I still think Teamwork is epic for agencies for some reasons around like the way it integrates with Teamwork Desk, as ClickUp doesn't even come close to that. But as a project management system, I love ClickUp. Like if that's all it is and it's so simple and like, yeah, I really like the interface. And you can switch between board and task views, which is super cool.
Yeah, they're the only one I think that can do that at this point. I know that others are trying to do that, but like in Asana, if you create a board-based view on a project, you can't switch it. And same thing with
exactly.
So I've not played with ClickUp a lot, but I've seen what it can do. And it's one of the ones that's on my list of things, because what I like to do, and actually I'm doing more of this, we're talking about video earlier, is I'm focusing a lot more on video this year. And I'm going to be doing like, here's how you time craft in ClickUp. Here's how you time craft in Asana. Nice. Here's how you can time craft in Trello. Because that way, one of my goals is to get, and this isn't an annual goal, but this is like a long-term OKR, is to say, hey, I want 1 million people time crafting. You know, that's what I want. I want 1 million people time.
Wow. Epic goal.
Whatever degrees, right? Whatever degrees, whether they're doing, you know, they theme one day of the week rather than all seven, but I want elements of time crafting to be in 1 million people's lives. That's my.
That's massive. That's cool.
So we'll see.
Yeah, good luck. And I'm happy to help out with that and share things around, because obviously, you know, I'm a fan. All right, let's dig into daily theming. Do you think that's a good place to start?
I think so. Yeah.
So let's go. You go. I'm going to, I'll chime in where it's helped me, I guess, but, I'll leave it to you to discuss.
So daily theming is basically the goal with daily theming is to give your day an overarching focus or an emphasis. Right out of the gate, I'll stress that when you choose a daily theme, you want it to be broad enough that it can fit a bunch of tasks inside of it, but you don't want it to be so broad that, you know, it's not going to help you with overwhelm. And if it's too narrow, then you're going to run out of things to do. So a good example of one would be, I'll use administration as one. There's a lot of things that can fall into the administrative theme, right? Mm-hmm. You can do administrative work for your videos. You can do administrative work for your social media. There's all of that there that can fall into that bucket. But again, it doesn't mean that you're only going to do administrative work that day. It's your focus for that day. So again, giving you that focus, what it does is when you wake up first thing in the morning and you're getting ready to start your day, you don't say, what am I going to do today? Because if you give your brain that kind of open-ended question, it will find lots of things that you could do, but it doesn't give you anything that you really should do. It's very hard to wage that battle between the primitive part of your brain, you know, the amygdala versus like the prefrontal cortex, which is the reason part, right? So if you give it like this tent pole or this theme, then what happens is your brain wakes up and doesn't say, what am I going to do today? It's Monday. It says, oh, what day is it? It's Monday. What does Monday mean? Oh, Monday means admin. Okay. What admin tasks am I going to do? So instead of your list looking like this big, it goes down to this big and maybe even more narrow. And the great thing about theming is if you have meetings throughout the day, which you will, I have meeting. I mean, today's my video day and you and I are chatting right now. Mm-hmm. When I get out of that meeting, I don't go, well, let me go check Facebook or let me go check my email. Instead, I say, hold on, what's today? Today is X. Today is, okay, well, that's video day. So what video can I do? So you're pivoting yourself right back and funneling your focus right back to where you need to be, as opposed to, you know, again, going off and being distracted or disrupted and then ultimately diverted by something that you had no intent of doing in the first place. Because productivity is about intention plus attention. You know, what's your intention? How are you going to pay attention to it? That ultimately is what productivity is about. And when you theme your days, you're giving yourself that element of focus that you need. Even if it's just a field of focus, it's still going to help you along the way. And then the other great thing, just before we talk about how you did it, James, is you don't have to theme every single day of the week. You don't have to say, hey, you know what, Monday to Saturday, I must have themes for every single day. Because if you do that, there's a strong chance that you're going to fail right out of the gate. Because you're going to say, well, there's no way that I can make video happen every Tuesday because I'm traveling next Tuesday or whatever. So pick one, start with one day. And if you don't think you can do a day of theming, and I love to throw these pattern breaks out, is think about when you do laundry, when you do housework. Chances are you have a housework day, right? So if you're doing that already, but you haven't labeled it, like every Saturday is kind of the day where everybody cleans their house or whatever, right? So you already have a theme day. And then anything that happens during that day that isn't cleaning is just an abstraction, right? It's just something that's different. So try it with one other day. And then what you can do is you can start to build from there, right? So that's daily theming. And there's other types of theming I talk about in time crafting. And I'll make sure that we have some resource links that you can share.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
This is something that you don't want to do. One of the things I don't like about a lot of productivity frameworks and systems and processes is that the expectation is twofold. Number one, you have to do it all. If you're not doing all of it, then you're not doing it. And number two is the idea that if you stop doing elements of it, then you're not doing it. And then The third thing is that you have to you can only start from today and work your way up to the high level stuff, or you could start from the high level stuff like your life goals, and then you whittle it down to the day to day. With time crafting, you can say, I can ask you, what are you struggling with? Your long-term vision, or you just want to get through today? And if people, most people go, I just want to get through today. We start off with daily theming because That's really helpful, right? If they want to think long-term vision, we start talking about, you know, virtue and three words and monthly themes and all that stuff. But you could start at either end of the spectrum, and then ultimately they meet. And then you are truly crafting your time, because time is a man-made construct. So why not craft the hell out of it?
Do you have like a recommended sort of framework or way to choose your themes? Because I can't remember how I came up with mine, but I did it pretty quickly. And like I did theme every day. I did all 5 days. But that said, some days are way less intensive than others. You know, like it might take on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, my theme it tends to take, say, a full morning, maybe even up to a full day to complete.
Right.
Whereas Thursdays and Fridays, it's usually like an hour or less. So I'm just cramming a few small things in, and then they're almost like bonus days. Do you have a framework to choose those?
Well, there's two thoughts that I'll put out here for this. Number one is the first thought is that if things are going to take you like 1 or 2 hours and that's your theme, that's more of what I call a horizontal theme.
Okay.
So for example, and I'm actually, as we're recording this, I'm rejigging my own horizontal themes, because horizontal themes tend to be the things that you need to do daily, right? So for example, I need to do maintenance work daily. I need to check my email. I need to do all like the low hanging fruit stuff. So that's a maintenance horizontal theme, and the things fall into that category. Email, social media, all those things fall into maintenance. And I do those for an hour long block between 9 and 10 a.m. So Monday through Sunday, that's when I'm doing that stuff. So, and horizontal themes override your daily theme. So for example, if today's video day and then 9 o'clock rolls around, all of a sudden I'm saying, oh, it's maintenance time. Well, let me look at all my maintenance tasks. So I think of these as almost like meetings, right? Except your meeting is to do the maintenance work. So that would be something that I would say is more of a horizontal theme that I would go across with. Now, secondly, how do you come up with the daily themes? Well, I always, when I'm talking about themes in general, it's always work backwards from your certainties. And this is definitely true when it comes to
data. From your what, sorry?
Certainties. So what do I mean by that? So what do you know to be true consistently? If you know that you have a regular meeting with your office on Wednesdays, that's a certainty, right? So therefore, you're going to use that as kind of an aligning factor as to, okay, well, what should Wednesday be? I don't want to be doing deep work necessarily on Wednesday when I'm going to have an hour long meeting at some point that I know is going to happen everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. So you look ahead. And what I normally recommend people do is look at least 3 weeks, if not 4 weeks ahead, look at their calendar and go, oh, you know, every Monday I have a meeting with this client. Every Wednesday I have a meeting with this client. Oh, every Friday my kids get out of school at 2:30, or even further. And this is how far I've taken it. What days could the kids be out of school? Well, Mondays can be school holidays. So can Fridays. So let's keep that in mind. I'm certain, I don't know when those days are going to happen, but I am certain that that's when those days happen. You've met my wife, Anne. She helps me in the business. What days is Anne home working with me on the business versus which days is Anne going to be doing acupuncture, which is her business? okay, let me write that down. So what I do is I kind of do all this like a logic puzzle. I don't know if you ever had those old logic puzzles where you had to, I'll give you an example. You have five people and there were five fruits and you had to figure out what person had what fruit based on the clues that were given to you.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
That's kind of how this works. Like, okay, Tuesday. So I know what days are the kids going to be possibly home from school? Monday and Friday. So therefore, those aren't good days for me to be doing video or audio work because I might miss a week of that, right? Yeah. But what day? Okay, but what days are Anne, is Anne home? Oh, she's home on Mondays and Thursdays. Okay, well, Thursday probably isn't a good day for me to be doing audio or video work either. Okay, what day is everybody home? Saturday, Sunday? Great. So only Tuesday and Wednesday are available for audio and video. Therefore, one's going to be video, one's going to be audio, right? Yeah. Same thing with, so that's how you do it. And if you're only doing one daily theme initially, then it's going to be super easy to figure out what that process of elimination and the certainties are. But once you start adding more, then you're going to say, okay, well, you know, for example, I know that Mondays and Fridays for me are my optimization day, Monday, and Friday is my deep work day. I can afford to lose one of those days in a week. Like during, you know, there's a school holiday coming up. I'm going to lose my optimization day. I'm fine with that. Right. But I can't lose a video day. I can't lose an audio day. Can't lose what I call a training day, which is when I'm coaching others or when I'm training, like learning for myself. Mm-hmm. Right. So anything that you feel that you have to do consistently, you're going to want to make sure that it falls on a day where you know that there's less things that are going to interrupt you, which is why I like those horizontal themes as well. So those are two ways to consider it. So for you, James, like maybe take a look at those ones that are taking an hour or two and figure out one of two things. Either A, do they fall into a larger bucket that you could maybe, instead of calling the daily theme whatever takes up the hour or two, maybe it could be like, okay, this is low energy day. This kind of stuff's low energy. Let me look at all the tasks that are low energy and that's what I'm going to do on this day. Or say, you know what, I'm going to create a strip of time, horizontal theme, that's when I'm going to do that kind of stuff consistently. So that way that's overriding whatever daily themes are in place already. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And that is kind of how my Thursdays and Fridays work, right? So just as an example for people listening, the way I theme my days is Monday is content production. So that's like, that could be blog post, video, audio. I jam that all into one day because I want to get that done early in the week, right? So I don't have these massive tasks hanging over me for the rest of the week.
Right.
Tuesday is probably my favorite day because it's like, well, one of them, because it's promotion and marketing day, right? So I'm usually like finding ways to get my content promoted or like maybe even tweaking ad campaigns and stuff like that if I'm doing that. So that's kind of like get more clients day. Wednesdays is relationships. So that's when I'm reaching out to like people that I haven't spoken to in a while or setting up my weekly newsletter because that keeps me top of mind with people. Thursdays and Fridays are kind of interchangeable in a way. Thursdays is like automation, right? So like, cause I really love doing less work. So I find ways to automate stuff in my business. And that's why that is often a, only an hour or two, because usually I only have a few tasks, like go and find an email or a little automation that I can optimize a bit more. Or fix up one or two emails. So they're only like small things. And then the rest of the day.
Or go to Zapier or something like, yeah, like go to Zapier and look up different, like it's kind of like my optimization day. But here's a question for you real quick before you.
Yeah.
Is your daily themes on Wednesday, and Wednesday is relationships and on Thursday it's automation. What another key element to daily themes, because they aren't just for the workday, they are for the 24-hour day. So literally you could say Wednesday is also the day where I'm going to reach out to people to maybe arrange something to go out socially. Absolutely. Maybe automation could be, I don't want to go shopping for groceries anymore. That's the day that I sit down and set up that automation. Right.
Oh yeah. So personal stuff too.
If you can make your themes, these are hybrid, right? So if you can make them both effectively, because if you listen to all of mine, right? Monday's optimization, that works for both business and personal. Mm-hmm. Video, frankly, that works for both too. If I'm, because video could be, I'm going to watch video. I'm going to create home video. Wednesday's audio isn't just me making podcasts I'm going to pick up the phone, which is an audio device, and call someone. Like I could literally, you can fit that in because it there is some stuff there.
Yeah.
Thursday is my training day, which means I'm training myself. Maybe I'm going to show my daughter how to do something. Maybe we're going to play a new board game. Friday is deep work. I used to not do any meetings on Fridays. I was like, nope. Now what I've done is in the mornings is I go have coffee with people who I really want to hang out with and have deep conversations with them. Right. And then Saturday is family day and Sunday is planning day. All of those affect both personal and professional. So I challenge you to maybe say, hey, you know what? I'm going to look at this. I'm going to broaden my scope on this a little bit, because then maybe automation can always be Thursday instead of you flipping it back and forth. Right. Or maybe it fits better on Friday, because that's when you have at the end of the week, you're like, okay, I can evaluate all the stuff that happened. And maybe I need to look at what I can automate going forward. What was your Friday theme, by the way?
It's generally research. It's generally like trying new stuff, you know? So I read, if there's stuff that I didn't have time to read during the week, I bookmark it and come back. And so and the reason I do that is because I often lose Fridays. You know, like a lot of my friends have, they know that I have the flexibility to do stuff during the week because, you know, entrepreneur, right, et cetera. And I'll get like random requests like on a Thursday night to be like, what are you doing at lunchtime tomorrow? Do you want to do this thing for the entire afternoon? I'm like, nah, part of me wants to say no, but like the other part of me is like, that's why I got into this. So
totally. Yeah. So I think that if you can, research could be like, I'm going to research new places to go eat. I'm going to read, like, I think the thing is, and what really, what I hear, some of the criticisms or feedback I get, which I mean, I can easily, having done stand up and improv for a while, I'm good at dealing with hecklers and stuff. So I had people say, well, that sounds like it's not very spontaneous. And I said, yeah, but frameworks foster freedom. If your brain knows that Thursday is the day that you automate, then it will like go, oh, that's fine. I'll wait till Thursday to do that. It doesn't matter whether it's automation of the home, automation of the work, it will do that. And then by doing that stuff in advance, you're able to say, you know what, I'm going to bail for Friday because I don't have to, I mean, there's nothing for me to do at this point in time. So you can build spontaneity inside of this framework, because you can do things like, well, when am I going to make that phone call? Well, Wednesday's audio day. I'm going to pick up the phone on audio day and do it. Instead of saying, I can only do that on relationships day. Now you've got like, well, a phone is an audio device. Like you can create multiple modalities for these, which is what themes are, really just modes, right? So I can say, you know what, if today is relationships day and I didn't get it done today, well, I've got to call James. Okay, well, it's an audio task. I'll just move it to either my audio day, or if it can keep till the next relationships day, then I can do that. So it eliminates all of this over choice and this decision fatigue that you face. And you can literally say, you know what, this is when I do this kind of stuff. Like I've already decided, you know, Mike from 3 years ago or a year ago or 3 months ago or 2 weeks ago already said, you know what, this is the day that, or this is the time that this stuff happens.
Yeah.
So I'm going to trust that person as opposed to me in the moment right now, who just wants to, you know, go online and shop or watch Netflix or something like that. Right?
And you nailed it with the decision fatigue thing there. Cause I find is one of the biggest benefits, because in my Trello board, I have sort of priority or how important certain tasks are on my columns. But then within that, I have colors for my days, right? So blue is Thursday, and today's the is today Thursday? Yeah, it is. yeah, true. And so if I have like an email that I need to rewrite, that's part of my automation sequences, and I'm like, oh, you know, when am I going to do that? It goes into my board, it gets colored blue, and then it just sits there. And I know that on Thursday, I'm like, okay, well, I sit down. What am I going to do today? I look at all my blue tasks and I pick the most important ones, or the ones I feel like doing, and do them. And that is really liberating. Like, it's so easy.
Well, and you know, it's funny. I'm wearing a shirt, and it's Black Bolt from Marvel's Inhumans. Today's my audio day. And I wear this shirt only on Wednesdays. I have two Wednesday shirts. I can't think what the other one is right now. But I actually have clothing. So I set up my clothes the night before. And I know what shirts are meant for. I have like, I think, two or three options per day. I think it's mostly two now because I'm trying to whittle down my wardrobe. Wow. But I'm like, oh, it's Wednesday. Wednesday, I wear this shirt. Oh, it's Thursday. Thursday, I have the ConvertKit shirt that says Teach Everything You Know. And I have it in green and in blue. So it's one of those shirts because it's my training day. And on Friday, I've got this Stranger Things shirt that says mornings are for coffee and contemplation. I'm like, that's my Friday shirt.
Boom.
So, you know, So that way I don't have to think of kind of like the whole Steve Jobs wore the same thing and you know, presidents wear the same thing and, you know, all that stuff. If I can eliminate choice, and when I say eliminate, when I say eliminate choice, I mean, eliminate the choices that slow me down or that pull me away from what I'm really trying to accomplish in my day-to-day life, then why not? And because this has meaning, I can look at the shirt and go, oh, I should be doing audio, right? Like I've surrounded myself with all of this.
Does it put you in the zone?
It does. Totally.
Because I was just asking that because I have this mug that I'm holding up. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to see on the podcast, but it's from a co-working space. And I don't know what it is, but something about using this mug just puts me in the zone to work. It's not necessarily a theme thing, but just this mug. Yeah. I have to use it when I'm working.
Yeah, I've got a mug that I bought from, I'm a bit of a pro wrestling fan. This is not a secret. I've released this a while ago. I've talked about it a while ago. I have three words that I choose for each year based on a practice that Chris Brogan shared with me a number of years ago. And 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, Seth Rollins, who's a famous WWE wrestler, had a phrase that was redesign, rebuild, reclaim. And I'm like, I love that. Those are my words. And they had a coffee mug with it on it. So I have that mug. And then I've got, so I will always try to find things that signify either what I'm trying to accomplish in a broader sense or what I'm trying to accomplish day to day. So like the mugs, Matt, my wife hates the mugs, by the way. You could ask her, she hates phrased mugs. She loves like the ones that are just like plain blue and green that we have.
Yeah.
But my daughter and I love all the mugs that say like phrases and stuff. And Anne's just like, please, like, can't we just have normal mugs? I'm like, no, these mugs matter. Like, and into my office, she goes, why is there a, like, I've got the Eye of Agamotto Doctor Strange necklace, like, you know, because it's the time stone and such. She goes, why did you need that? I'm like, I talk about time, of course I needed it, right? So like, there's things that just, I'm a big triggers, like the Green Lantern ring that I know you can't, people can't, yes, see, but willpower, that it takes willpower for me to do this kind of, like, to say, hey, it's audio day, let's only do audio. So I think if you can surround yourself with both physical and mental triggers, or whatever you need to stick to, you know, hey, I'm going to do this kind of daily theme, or I'm going to journal, like using a really nice hardbound journal or having a reminder pop up, which is why I like notifications only when they're used to notify you and not used arbitrarily. Like if you deliberately say, hey, I want a notification at 5 p.m. every day to tell me to write my journal, that's fine. But if you have all your notifications on for email, everything like that, then it's kind of like that idea that if everything is loud, nothing stands out, right? So for me, this is kind of my version of being loud. Like the time thing you see right behind me over here, if you're watching on video, or if you see the video, it says like the current date. I have like a Lego thing with the current date. I've got, you know, so for me, these things are really, really, they just help me stay the course and make measure progress every single day.
So you mentioned journaling and I want to jump onto that now, but just before we do that, is there somewhere where people can go to, like, where should they start with daily theming? Do you have like a blog post or something we can send them to?
Yeah. Well, you've got a great one.
Thank you, sir. All about you.
But if you go to productivityist.com/I don't know, what do you want me to put? We'll create a
list. I'll just put it in the notes. But yeah, we'll send.
Let's create a very podcast specific one. So
okay.
Agency, you want to call agency highway? Is that what we want to do?
Sure.
Yeah. So productivityist.com/agency highway, which will eventually be timecrafting.com/agency highway, but they'll both be there. And I'll have like how to get started with theming, how to get started with all that stuff. And we'll be able to take it from there. All right.
Perfect. All right. So journaling, I've been super excited about this because we were discussing what the highest impact things would be to talk about on this this interview. And you said you wanted to talk about journaling because it's often shelved before the return on investment is evident. And so I've tried journaling probably 5 or 6 times now and not got more than maybe a week or two into it. And I've just either stopped doing it or been like, this is dumb, I don't know why I'm doing it. So I really want to have you prove me wrong right now. So
okay. All right. So let me I'm gonna do something a little bit. Give me Can you give me a random date in the last 3 years? Just rhyme off any random date.
I don't know. 24th of December, 2017.
Okay. So let's go here.
Day before my birthday. It's the only reason I did it.
All right. So here's what happened in my life on December 24th, 2017. She's sick. We watched Die Hard today. She liked it. We watched A Christmas Story too. She didn't like it as much. She laid her head against my shoulder while we were at her uncle's place. She fell asleep there. I just sat there, reveling in the moment. Sure, it's not ideal that she's sick. Not at all. But I know that these moments aren't going to happen as frequently. She's growing up. I'm going to stop there because there's more. But that's this journal entry from the 24th. I can go back and look at that at any given time. And that's personal, but there's some professional stuff in here too. I talk about, you know, like Terry Crews being on the latest Tim Ferriss podcast, which I thought was a fantastic episode. So journaling, I can go back, I think 6 years in this, I use day one on the Mac, and I would say 85% of the entries will have words. If not, all of them will have photos, but 85%. And I fall off from time to time too. I mean, life keeps you busy. But what happens is the difference between looking at a calendar to see what happened and looking at a journal entry is a calendar just gives you the overarching kind of content, right? It doesn't give you context. So it's like, hey, I went to the dentist on December 3rd. December 3rd was my audio day. And then you go back and look at that entry and you're like, hey, today I interviewed David Allen and it was great. We had a great conversation. Oh man, and the dentist, I hate the dentist, but maybe I need to really work at flossing more because flossing, it's such a waste of time, but then I end up spending more time. So my point is it gives you valuable emotional information and valuable contextual information in terms of, hey, here's what went down. Here's more details. Here's what's working. Here's what isn't. Because what it will let you do too is if you're doing this consistently is it will allow you to course correct that much faster. So instead of you waiting, like hoping that you're going to, you know, the story that you're telling yourself isn't chronicled, you might veer way off course. And so like, why am I not at a million people timecrafting it? Oh, it's because I stopped making videos or I said that I wanted to be more astute with my video making and then I just stopped caring, right? Because clearly in my journal, I didn't say that. So It takes 5 minutes a day. There's an actual app called the 5 Minute Journal and there's an actual journal called the 5 Minute Journal.
Yeah.
And that's literally 0.04% of your entire day. Like it's minuscule. So the payoff up front, like you said, a week in, you're like, well, that's stupid. Like, what am I doing this for? Right. Or 2 weeks in or whatever. But I've had clients that went on vacation and I said, so what'd you do on vacation? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm like, well, tell me what you did on the third, like 3 weeks ago on this date. And they're like, we were in Taiwan. Well, what'd you do? It's so much better to be able to go back and say, that's right. I wanted to start cooking Thai food more because it made me feel great. So I think the point is that it gives you, it's your story. Like a journal is your story of not just your personal life, but it can be of your business life. And if you struggle with what to write about, daily theming can help because your trigger could be, what was today's theme? Did I do things according to today's theme? Yes, no. If so, what was that like? If not, why the hell not? What happened?
Yeah. And
the buildup, like I said, I can go back and every January 1st, even though I don't celebrate New Year's on January 1st, I celebrate at the start of September to kind of mirror my kids' school year. Every January 1st, because no one's bugging me that day, I read my entire journal from the previous year. So I'll read the calendar year journal from January 1st of 2020. So
holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. I read it. It's like, it's cause it's a book and I'll sit there and remember the entries are what? 300 pages, 300 words, 500 words, maybe. And I'll sit there and I'll read it and I'll make notes like, oh shit, this didn't work. Pardon my language, but oh, this didn't work out the way I wanted. You know, things or, oh my God, this is great. Or I'll see like, hey, I started writing this book in January and it's December and I still am writing this book. What the hell's going on? So, you know, it's about reflection. And
that's what I was just going to say. That's probably the key that I was missing.
Yeah. You don't review and reflect, then you could be going in a direction that you had no intention of going in. So yeah. It's really ultimately the best way to pay attention.
Because I was doing that 5-minute journal thing where it's like, what are 3 things you've been grateful for today? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm writing like the same shit every time. And
yeah, when you're doing this, you have to make it personal. You have to. That's why I don't. When someone says, well, "What should I journal about?" I say, "Well, what do you want to journal about?" They're like, "Well, I don't know." I'm like, "Well, what about like we're talking about your daily theme? What if you just wrote about like what you did?" Like, some people don't get gratitude journals. And by the way, the one thing you will be grateful for is that you wrote in a journal once you are able to go back. Like,
I do it with travel. By the way, you were talking there about travel. I always write about travel because I'm the same. I'm like, God, I don't even remember what I did on that last trip.
So think of really life is a journey in and of itself.
Yeah.
So we're on a journey anyway. Like right now, after reading the beginning of that journal entry to you, not only am I feeling that was my daughter that was sick, by the way, obviously you could probably tell by the con, but I'm like, that made me feel like, yeah, my daughter right now, she's 13. She's going to high school next year. I'm like, oh my goodness. This is a girl who it evokes a lot of emotion. And then the other thing is it makes me want to read the rest of the entry. Cause I stopped. I'm like, oh, what else did I have to say that day? Right. Because I'm the author of that. So you're the author of your own story. Why not review your work and see if it's the story that you want to be telling, whether it's personal or work. And if it's for your business, you definitely want to make sure you're telling the right story, because if you're telling the wrong story, then you're probably doing business in a way that you don't want to be doing business.
So what – I'm starting to think I want to do this again now, but what is your – like, how do you remind yourself to do it at like 5 o'clock? Like when do you do it?
I'm a night owl. So I actually do it as one of the last things during my evening routine. So what I recommend people do is when they're trying to adopt a habit of any sort is try to stack habits in routines, right? So for example, if I'm trying to meditate, which I'm trying to do more and more of, is I will stack it into my morning and evening routine. So I can tell you every morning what I do up into a certain point, and then every evening what I do. And by the way, if you don't have an evening routine, but you have a morning routine, you're missing out, because those morning and evening routines are like, again, we talked about certainties earlier. They're the bookends to your day. If your day goes to hell, the middle of your day, at least you know at the end of the day that you've got a reliable, okay, I get home. I do this. I set up my clothes for the next day. I get my coffee ready. I make my breakfast so that tomorrow, because I suck at morning. So I actually don't, like my breakfast is made the night before. Like I'm a zombie when I'm walking around at 8 a.m., right? But journaling for me is done at the end of the day because being as I work from home, I want to encapsulate the whole thing. Some people want to do it earlier in the day. And yes, I do have a reminder because, you know, part of my day goes, you know, there's been days where I'm like, why am I going to write I'll just write in it tomorrow. Like, yeah, but then I won't. And what I'll do is in that journal entry is I'll say, wasn't going to write in the journal, thought I could write in it tomorrow. and by the way, other triggers you can use is if you're using like a mobile device, you probably taken pictures throughout the day, right? Either take a picture, like add a picture to your entry if you're using day one or even Evernote or Journey on Android or whatever, or look at your calendar for the day and see if there's anything that popped up during the day. You have triggers all around you. You just need to leverage them. And so I just tack it into my evening routine. And then that's basically by putting it at the end of the day, I then prioritize my next day because I'll know I'm basically tonight's entry will probably be something along these lines. Well, today was audio day. Didn't do a lot of audio because it's the first full day back for the kids at school. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around my monthly theme, which is video stuff. Talked to James for his podcast, man, I really need to get my camera lighting set up better. And then I'll say, okay, made dinner, I'm butter chicken, da 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 da. Tomorrow is my training day. I've got a lot of coaching calls to do, and also want to make sure that I get this team task management charter to this other set of clients. All right. And then I always end my journal entries with the word see you later, because my favorite movie About Time is called About Time. And I love it. And it's the last lines from that movie. So I always just end it that way. And so, again, anything you could do that has meaning behind it, you're going to likely do more consistently as well.
Okay, cool. Well, I think you've convinced me to give it a go again, and I'm going to go a bit more freeform because it was like the following the 5-minute journal thing or whatever it is with like the 3 dot points and the 6, you know, the 4 different things or whatever. I'm just like, this is...
That's not your framework. It's not your, you have to, like, we talked about this at the top of the show where you said, you know, you took elements of time crafting, which and mashed it together with other things that you know have worked for you. Productivity is personal. Journal writing, all this stuff is personal. If you try to do what I do exactly, or what you do exactly, or what anybody, there's going to be some pain points, or there's going to be just stop points. And that's what happened with you with this journal. If you open up a blank journal though, and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to write about whatever the hell I want. But the whole point is, it's not about what I write. It's about the fact that I am writing every single day, kind of like morning pages that Julie Cameron talks about in The Artist's Way. You know, at the end of the week. And then what I recommend you do is every 2 weeks, take a look back at it. Like, that's how I do my review, because people who have followed Getting Things Done for a long time, that's one of the things that they fail to do regularly, is every week they fail to do the review. It's one of the things that is constantly a sticking point. But it's also, as David Allen said, like, one of the most, if not the most important thing to do, because what if you're doing the wrong stuff, right? So because I'm journaling every day, I'm almost doing like a mini review every single day, so I don't have to do it every week. I could do it every 2 weeks. And then the first step of doing what I call a rapid review is to read all of my journal entries and go, oh, and then make notes and understand where I'm at. Because then I can see where I was 2 weeks ago and where I am today, and figure out if that's the path I even wanted to go down. And if not, all right, how do I make sure the next 2 weeks are going to be better? Or if they are, okay, how do I keep this momentum going?
I think this is huge. And this is where, because my thing was like, where, when I came into this interview, I'm like, I want to know what the benefits are. Like, I, you know, and I think this is where I'm seeing it has real potential, is that reflection, you know? So you can look back, and you could start noticing that these are the kind of tasks. Every time I'm doing this stuff, I feel like shit. Maybe that's the stuff I need to get rid of or offload. Or,
well, you'll see the old habits rear themselves all the time. Like, I started to put in there, like, did I work out today? Did I go for a run? Did I do the yoga? Why not? What's wrong with you? You said like you're speaking in a month and you don't want to look like, you want to look healthier. I mean, right now I'm drinking fizzy water. And today, actually, this will go in my entry too, is that my wife and I went out for lunch because she's going away tomorrow for a week, and then I'm gone right after that. I normally order soda or beer for lunch because I'm like, whatever. I ordered fizzy water. I didn't order pop. And I'm like, I'm proud of myself because I have been a pop drinker. And if it's the available drink, I will take it, especially if I don't want to drink alcohol, because, you know, I don't want to drink alcohol at noon necessarily on the day. Audio work, right? So again, it gives you, it reinforces both the good habits that you're building, but also journaling can point out the things that keep coming back into your story that you definitely want to get rid of, such as tasks that you feel aren't beneficial for you to be doing at all, clients that you don't necessarily want to work with.
Yeah, it was one of the main things I was thinking of.
Or clients that you feel you're not giving enough to. It can work both ways. Right? Like, it could be like, this client I'm not really happy with, or, you know what, I've been phoning it in with this client. And I've had a few entries like that where I'm like, you know what? And then that, you know what happened after that? And I talked to you a little bit about this off the top, is it didn't just force me to look at that client. It forced me to look at, like, why is this happening on the whole? Maybe I need to revamp this, you know, this whole program, so that this, the chance of this happening is far, far less than it has been, because I'm seeing this show up again and again. I'm not, but I could say that, like, I'm seeing these things show up, and there's got to be a root cause to this, as opposed to just this one client, right? So it does make you think about that why that we were talking about. Like, why is this happening? Oh, great. This is why I wanted it, or I need to fix this, right?
Yeah, totally. All right, I'm convinced. I'm going to start journaling again. And I think I do use, I think it was journey.cc or something like that. Was the
app that's on Android. Journey's a good one.
But it's also good because it's web-based as well. So
yes. Android was terrible for it for a long time, and the Mac really had, like, day one was the one that everyone was using. But if you don't have Journey, or and you don't really want to spend, Evernote will work too. Just make what you could do. And I actually have a blog post I'll share with you about how to journal in Evernote, because the one thing people get concerned about is, well, but privacy, like, you can make there's ways around it. So I'll give you that link and we could share it in the show notes. So that way there's no excuse, because there's always something. Well, I like to write it down on paper, or I don't have time to type. Well, if you can, I more often than not dictate my journal entries.
Oh yeah. And that's exactly what I've been thinking. because
nobody's going to look at them. And by the way, the other thing is, if people say they don't have time to do it, and you are, I always say this, I'm like, how many of you are on Facebook? You listening right now, if you're on Facebook, you are journaling, but just for the entire world to see. So if you took some of that time and journaled for yourself, not only would you be able to have this kind of record and this chronicle of your life, but maybe some of the things that you might say on social media that could result in some backlash, you could put in a journal, and no one, you're just getting it out of your system. And I think if more people journaled, maybe social media might be a bit of a better place.
And you just hit two things there that I've been thinking about in the background. And one was that, how it's always really exciting when like the memories or the time hop stuff where it's like on this day a year ago, 2 years ago, it's like, oh my God, do you remember this? And you send it to your friends. Like, I don't know if everyone else does that, but I do it all the freaking time and all my friends do. It's just like this is what happened. So this is like that on steroids. Like, and, totally. And the other thing is a thing that I've even got on my, like, to constantly remember checklist. Is I think it was General Eisenhower. I read in a book about World War II, obviously, about this once. He used to just dump everything that was on his mind onto paper, and that was how he like helped release, all that, I guess, nervous tension or whatever. You know, like he was just that was his release, was to just dump it all onto paper. So there's like two things going on right there, which I think.
Well, and the other thing is again, you kind of. No one's ever going to read this other than you. That's your choice. So like if my wife will read my journal when I am dead, and there will be things in there, she'll be like, there's great things, but there's also going to be things in there. She's like, oh man, wow. I can't believe he thought that day about me, or, you know, like there's going to be that, but that's okay. Cause I'm not going to be here anyway, but it's better for me to get it out in that form than to, you know, spout off. Like today, just a quick aside, today I was picking up my son from school just before we got on here. And, a lady turned on her car and had her foot on the brake, but the white brake light, like the reverse lights came on, and I was pulling out and I honked. She goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, it looks like you're gonna, I'm just starting the car." And we got like, it was like she was ready to start road raging. I'm like, it's fine. Like I just wanted, it wasn't like I leaning on the horn. And she was just, but she had three kids in the car. And I'm like, maybe you're not paying attention. You got three. And I drove home and Cole was like, she was backing up. I'm like, I know she was. I'm sure that she might have. I go, I just wanted to be, and I drove home and that'll go in the journal. Instead of me going on Facebook going, stupid people with their, like, and it just makes me look like an idiot. And also, we have enough narcissism going on right now anyways. You can be narcissistic in your own journal all you want because it's all about you anyway. Right. So there are so many benefits to it that people don't think about. And I've given you like a good half dozen. So hopefully.
Oh, yeah. My brain is joining dots. The more you talk, the more dots I'm joining. Like even yesterday, I watched a couple of docos that just really pissed me off. And I was like, almost wanted to go on a rant on Facebook. like, nope, I'm not going to do it. Should have gone in the journal.
Yeah, you got it. You got to. And the thing is, I've had some people say to me, oh, I just type it in and then delete it. I'm like, just takes one slip of the pinky and you've accidentally hit enter instead of delete. And now it's out. Yeah. It's out there.
All right. Well, you've convinced me and I'm going to journal. So thank you so much for joining me, Mike. This has been awesome.
I had a great time. It's good to catch up again. And I can't wait till the next time. And I hope that some of the stuff that we've shared today is going to help you out.
Oh, I hope it. I'm sure it will. So, all right. We'll wrap it up there. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a review or share this episode with someone you think will get something out of it. See you next time.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.